Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
There's a lot happening in the Middle East right now, but to a large extent, while the hard war is being fought there, the soft war is being fought in the courts, the media, and the streets around the world. This week, the Netherlands came into focus for a number of reasons. First, there was an explosion at an Amsterdam Jewish school. Just before that, the Netherlands joined the ICJ case in support of South Africa, and then the Muslim Brotherhood was also banned. That's just to start off with. I am absolutely delighted to have Naomi Mestrom, Director of the Center for Information and Documentation Israel, as my guest now to unpack so much of what has been happening. Naomi, welcome, and thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. Hi.
Hi. Naomi, firstly, let's start with the latest anti-Semitic attack at a school. And we know, I mean, one of the images that came out during the war, I don't know, it was last year, was Israelis being hunted in the streets of Amsterdam, having to show their passports. And that was kind of like a really sad moment for European history and Jews in general. What has the Netherlands been like since then?
Actually, the Netherlands has been a different place since October 7th in 2023 already. We had another major incident right before that night in November with the Maccabi supporters coming. We had the opening of our Holocaust Museum. One of the speakers there was President Herzog. And for some reason, the municipality allowed demonstrators to come so close to the museum that even Holocaust survivors and their children were yelled at for being complicit to what was going on in Gaza. They were chanting things like, shame on you, and you're creating a Holocaust yourself, etc. So this already happened even before that night in November when we were faced with the awful incidents that happened after the game between Maccabi and Ajax, the biggest football club in Amsterdam. That night felt like a pogrom, like a real hunt. We call it the Jew hunt. And we call it the Jew hunt because this was were the words that were used in WhatsApp groups that local taxi drivers used to go into the streets and look for those Maccabi supporters. They were writing, we are going on a Jew hunt. So this is how they called it. And this is what it is, because this is what happened. The outrage in the first few hours was huge. A local, how do you say it? Like the mayor and local authorities were shocked by what happened. Through the Jewish community, a help center was established. So we were dealing with the victims of that night, just football supporters who were in Amsterdam to have a great evening. Of course, with football, there are always the diehards. So we cannot say that everybody was innocent, but it was not different from any other football match or any other football hooligans. And the people that were the victims were everybody. It was just not the hooligans. It was also just the local grandpa that came with his grandson, young Israeli families that were harassed. So the outrage was huge in the beginning. But we also looked at the perpetrators, the ones that did this. And we have to say that the taxi drivers and the other ones that were hunting for the Maccabi supporters were Dutch people from Middle Eastern descent, or they were Moroccan, Syrian, a few Dutch, but also other backgrounds. So someone made a comment about immigration failing in the Netherlands. And I don't know what happened, but just within a few days, the whole narrative changed, and the victims became the perpetrators, and the ones that were kicking people in the stream suddenly became the victim. So This hit us hard as a community because people were looking away from the problem that we are really dealing with: anti-Semitism, Israel hatred. You're not safe in the streets of Amsterdam when you're openly speaking Hebrew, or when you're Israeli, or when you're just here to see a football match. And the whole narrative where the people that were the ones hunting for the Jews suddenly became the victim. And this is a huge disgrace that really did something in how we look at the authorities and the protection that we need, and that we're actually we didn't feel the support anymore. And the media followed this new narrative, and we're still recovering from that. So after the big incidents at the Holocaust Museum, the night of that November, we had other incidents, especially in universities, where the so-called anti-Zionist movement makes life almost impossible for Jewish students to even feel safe at universities. We see signs with "Kill all Zionists." But we all know that Jews in general affiliate with Israel's right to exist, which makes you a Zionist. It doesn't say anything if you support the government or anything, but even if you support the government, that's freedom of speech. You have the right to be at your university without the moral check if your opinion matches the opinion of the people demonstrating in front of the universities. And the problem is that the people that are there to protect the safety of all students did not protect those Jewish students. I think partly because they are afraid of the demonstrators, because they are rough. They break things. They take over universities. We've had so much damage to universities for over 100,000 euros, for over 1 million euros even. And I think the people that should protect all the students are kind of afraid for these demonstrators and try to, talk with them, try to be reasonable. But the fact is, you're not dealing with reasonable people. It doesn't help when you just talk, especially when they are masked. So most of the time, they don't even speak Dutch. So there's a huge influx from overseas students that actually create this unsafe spaces at university. So all of this adds up. We had a Hanukkah concert in Amsterdam where someone from Israel was coming to sing. But because of all the pressure and threats, the building where the concert takes place every year for many, many years, tried to cancel the concert just because they were afraid because of all the threats. In the end, we also pushed back with demonstrations and much more. And under special rules, the concert could took place, but it's a family concert. So families came with their children, and they were forced to walk through a huge crowd of people celebrating October 7th, singing chants like "You're complicit" and "We hate Zionists" and "You're not welcome here." So this is what happened in December, and this creates an environment where public life or even cultural life is not accessible for Jews anymore. It's either because the venues are too afraid for demonstrations or damages or threats, or it's because they just close the doors, because as long as you're supporting of Israel or in any way connected to Israel, they just do not want you there. So Jewish life is kind of disappearing. We're getting into a climate is created where this hate finds a soil where all the boundaries are shifting and nobody stops it. So within this climate, it's not that crazy that people take actions that go even further. And this is what we saw at the synagogue in Rotterdam that had an explosion on Thursday night. And only 2 days after, we had the same group that did the attack on a Jewish school in Amsterdam. It's a movement because they filmed what they did. They did that in Rotterdam, which is actually the second largest city of the Netherlands, and Amsterdam is the biggest. So they filmed what the explosions in Rotterdam and Amsterdam, and they created a logo and a name that looks like it affiliates with the Shia Islam. So we can also think of a connection with Iran, and this is actually being investigated at the moment. So the climate of hate against Jews, against Zionists, or anything that relates to Israel, or took a next step, and it actually all exploded since the war with Iran began.
Oh, it's awful hearing how incredibly bad it is there. The decision to ban the Muslim Brotherhood there, is that related to what you've just said?
The ban of the Muslim Brotherhood has been on the agenda for quite a while. At the same time, the Muslim Brotherhood is a movement. It's not like an organization where you can just be a member of, but it's a movement that is infiltrated in organizations, in mosques, in civil society, in a way, especially within the Muslim community. So it's really hard to detect what is Muslim Brotherhood and what is not. The motion that was accepted within the how do you say it? Second chamber, we call it, but it's within Parliament, says Muslim Brotherhood and other affiliated organizations. So when you come to a law that will forbid the Muslim Brotherhood, it has to be very clear what is the Muslim Brotherhood, where is it, how can we detect them. So the fact that this is not as easy made it harder to accept this law or this rule before. Thankfully, because of everything that happened, I do think it adds up to the fact that now Parliament said, yes, we need to ban the Muslim Brotherhood, but now it's up to the government to see how they are going to do this. So, it's a great first step, but we're not there yet.
Yes, it sounds like there's still a lot that needs to be done. I know that you were one of those that were outside The Hague when South Africa took the ICJ case, and I know you were there in support of Israel. But now the Netherlands has also submitted. What are the implications of that?
I have to say, international law is a complicated thing, and I really had to dig into it. So I have a great story for you in Dutch, but this will be harder for the people listening. So I will try to make sense in English, but it's a declaration to intervene, but it's a neutral decision the way the Netherlands did it. It's not uncommon that we do this. Actually, we did it before when it was Gambia against Myanmar. And the reason why we intervene is because the ICJ is here in our country, and even in the city where I work and where I live. So we feel like it's important to support the judicial process. So it doesn't say that we side with South Africa. It says that we intervene within the case, but the intervention is not very critical. It's very neutral. And in the intervention, it's mostly technical, like the definition of genocide, or the underlying deeds that led to this so-called genocide, or the starvation. It's a whole investigation. But our intervention does not say anything if we think Israel is guilty or not. But at the same time, we also saw that South Africa wants to broaden the definition of genocide. And we did not say anything about that. And this is a huge thing of discussion. So when the Netherlands intervenes in a case, they don't have to go through parliament. But with a case that's so sensitive as this one, they should have. So I expect a few questions coming from parliament to push the Netherlands to be a bit more critical. Because in general, the Netherlands has always been a partner of Israel, and we support Israel's right to exist. And we have to wait how the case will go before we call it a genocide. So the intervention, they say it's neutral. At the same time, it's not critical enough, but I don't think the last word has been said about this. We do worry, though, because we could have intervened like Paraguay or the United States or Fiji, because they really pointed to the danger of broadening the definition of genocide. And they also look at the history of the context of genocide, which is actually the Shoah, the Second World War. So it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good.
No, Maria, thank you so much for clarifying so much and also giving the context because, even if it's neutral, that's certainly, I'm left from this conversation feeling a little bit lighthearted because the way it's portrayed in South Africa is that the Netherlands has come out against Israel. So
That's absolutely untrue,
thank you.
thankfully.
Yeah, so and you've given context not only to that, but also to the environment that these two attacks, anti-Semitic attacks in the Netherlands took place. And I know your work is cut out, and I know how hard and dedicated you are to continuing it. We didn't even get to the Eurovision Song Contest and the implications of that. So, but perhaps you'll be my guest again, and we can explore some of what Europe is doing and working together with, and also definitely a discussion around the Eurovision.
Great, I would love that.
Thank you very much. That's Naomi Mestrom, Director of the Center for Information and Documentation in Israel.